your money is more important than your promise to me? Now, I wasn't mature enough to sort that all out. Looking back, I could see, how that severed my relationship with him. I'm not sure we ever really got that back. Even after I'd been saved numbers of years, and he's dead now. And another thing about my dad, bless God. When he was dying, we knew he was dying. He had lung cancer. And amazingly, he died like in 2 months. Nobody thought it was going to go that fast. But I kept waiting for Dad to say something to me profound. It was a powerful feeling in me. I wanted him to pronounce a blessing of some kind. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a bad man, but he wasn't born again. But I wanted him to say something like, "Son, I'm proud of you. Son, you've turned out to be a good man. Son, whatever." I was so hungry for it. And because it would be affirmation, right? We hunger for affirmation. We may not be in touch with it, but it's there. And I'm waiting. He has a sound mind. I went a couple times a week maybe. And, every time I left and came back, it was like he aged a year as he was dying. I kept kind of waiting. Is he going to say something to me today? Is he going to say, "Son, come here, I want to talk to you"? No, he didn't do it that day. How about the next day? No, the next visit. Well, October turned into November, and my mother had to take my dad to the doctor and asked me to help out. He was having a hard time walking, and we get into the doctor's office, and he talks to the doctor, and then my mother and I are in there alone, and I had a preaching engagement in a youth convention in a few days. And so I asked the doctor, I said, "Man, how long has my dad got?" He said, "Probably around 6 weeks," which I felt like that gave me permission to go to do this youth convention, which was in 4 or 5 days. We took my dad home that day, and he kind of slipped into a little bit of, just constantly sleeping. But with the assurance of the genius doctor, the oncologist, Dr. Death, I went to the youth convention, and much to my disappointment, while I was there, he died 4 days later. Way to go, Doc. How long did you go to school? 6 weeks, huh? It's like 3 days later. And he never said anything. The last conversation I had with him was when he was laying there, he was heavily medicated, and I took him by the hand, and I said, "Dad, you've been a good dad. Thank you." Come on, say something. And he just kind of squeezed my hand, and that was the last conversation I had. He never said it. I was so angry. You died and never said it. Not sure why I'm telling you this story. Right now I'm a little embarrassed. But your kids crave your attention. They crave it. And they want to hear from you about them. Now, many of us probably share a similar kind of story in some way, shape, or form. And it makes you wonder how God sees you. Because you wondered how you were seen by your parents. It creates insecurity. Having said all of that, let's see how God sees us through this scripture that I'm reading with you right now. Verse 8. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains. Brother Churchill and I were speaking together toward the end of the service last night about how immediate, boom, the Spirit fell on us. I was teaching, kind of leading us in that direction, feeling after the Spirit together. Then we had prayer and wham! Did you notice? We didn't have to scream and beg for an hour before he showed up, so to speak. It was boom, leaping, skipping. Let me love you. Let me hug you. Let me tell you how I feel about you. No hesitation. No sense of dragging around. He jumped at the opportunity. When we sat those pastors down, am I right or not? Did you experience that? Are we on the same page? On those pastors. We put the ministers down. On the ministers. We sat you down and had the pastors walk down through the crowd. How long did we do that for? At least an hour. An hour, 10, 15 minutes maybe. Does that sound like a God that's kind of halfway ticked? Was that a God that can't stand you? Or is that a God saying, I love you, I care about you, I have your needs on my heart, amen, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Did we have to go on a 3-day fast before we got here to get God to love us? No, he showed up as soon as we got here and started worshiping God. Was it Thursday night? And it's been thick ever since. Does that sound like a God that doesn't know how he feels about you? I think it says God is madly in love with us. He went to a cross so he could do this kind of stuff. Didn't he? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He endured it for the joy. He's not a dad that's distant. He's not a dad that's too busy reading a newspaper. When you see God, you see more than fingers and feet. He exposes himself and lets us handle him, touch him, talk to him, talk to us. He comes leaping, skipping upon the mountains, upon the hills. Verse 9, my beloved is like a roe or a deer or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind, wait a minute. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. He's leaped and he skipped on the hills, coming to the house, and now he's peeking in the window. He was here. He leaped and skipped all the way here from glory Thursday night. And he looked in the windows. And he looked through the lattice. And he's saying, I'm here. I'm here. Will you let me in? I've come to see you. You're my bride. I love you. He didn't drill. All right, I guess I got to go down there and talk to these guys. He's not a hesitant God. He didn't even bring a newspaper. He brought the gloves and he brought the ball. He wants to play ball with us. He's our dad. That's how I see him anyway, and I think I'm going to hold on to that. Is that okay? If you can't grab that, okay, I'm going to hold on to that. Because I go through junk. I go through troubles. Who knows what I'm going to have to face when I get home? I got pressure in my life. I need to know God is with me. I need to know that God is helping me and that God is for me. Let's read on. And he says here, he shows himself through the lattice in verse 9. Verse 10 says, "My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love." He didn't say, "Rise up, you dog do." Some of us have had fathers that might have spoke to us like that. But he doesn't. He says, "Rise up, my love." That feeds me. I don't know if it feeds you or not, but "Rise up, my love. My fair one, and what? Come away." Could I just mess around with this scripture a little bit more by saying, we've been away in the spirit. He came down, showed himself through the lattice, saying, "Rise up." How many feel more erect today than you did before you got here? How many feel like God's brushed off some things? How many's going to go home encouraged and changed? Rise up. You don't have to be down on the ground and defeated. He's saying, "I'm here now. Rise up and come away. Let's go on a little journey together." He takes us into his world. And he goes on to say, verse 11, "For lo, winter is past. The rain is over and gone." In other words, the trial's over. And the difficulties and the storms you've been dealing with are over now. The sun is shining. And man, when the sun is shining, make hay while the sun is shining. And when joy, when the storm clouds are gone and you have a moment to bask in the warmth of his presence. And he goes on to say, verse 12, "The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing of birds has come." Sounds like Alaska. Winter's tapering out. And the trees are going to start blossoming and the birds are singing. Sounds like a good time, doesn't it? "And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land," verse 13. "The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. To my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock." You know what a cleft is? It's like a fissure, a split in the rocks. And he's saying, watch this. He says, "My dove, thou art in the clefts." You're in the cracks. You're sort of hiding in the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. You see, God has a stairway leading us to him. And he says, you're in the You're in the clefts, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Come on. Come on out of the shadows. Let me take a look at you. You're beautiful. Don't hide in the shadows. Come on out. Let me see your countenance. Whew. Thou art in the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. Talk to me. Don't be afraid. Come out of the shadows. Don't be afraid. Let me hear you. Talk to me. I love the sound of your voice when you call on me. Does that sound like a sort of a mediocre kind of putting up with you? Doesn't sound like that to me. Sounds like he's kind of crazy about us. Sweet is thy voice. Imagine that, Brother Churchill, that God, when he hears us, it's sweet to him. Man. That's pretty neat. Maybe it's true. God loves me. I think so. Sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. You're beautiful. I love to look at you. I love to talk to you. I love for you to talk to me. He's not like my father was. It took me a long time to work my way through that. If you can grab a hold of what I'm talking about, you can save a lot of time. And let God heal whatever father wound or mother wound that you might be carrying. There's a tendency for us to feel like, oh, that's just silly. I need to just get over it. It's easier said than done. To get that concept. And when you've not been well affirmed, it affects your confidence. It makes it hard for you to step out into adulthood and feel confident and up to the job, up to the task. And maybe many of you wrestle with confidence issues. Because you've been made to feel like a loser. Oh, Ronnie, don't blow this like you've blown everything else. Get what I'm talking about? I sure didn't come here this morning thinking I was going to talk about all this. If I had known, I probably would have resisted it because I'm uncomfortable. But I've also found out that there is relief in transparency. And if I can be transparent with you, it helps affirm you. You mean I'm not the only person that ever felt this way? No, you're not. And if you look at our society and our culture, and you see the neurotic irresponsibility, the passion for any kind of pleasure-seeking way, you're looking at a generation that has never been affirmed. and they don't know and don't have the foggiest idea of who they are. And you and I know who we are. We are the sons of God. Let's praise him right now. Can you let God come close? Oh, God, help us. Help us grasp this truth that you love us with an everlasting love. Help us grasp the reality that you don't come with a scorn on your face. You come with a smile, peeking in the windows and showing yourself through the lattice, saying, "Come away, my dove." Oh, Jesus, help us to feel secure, more secure in you. Oh, Shotolomo, would you lift up just one hand at least and just begin to praise him in tongues for just a minute? Can we do that? Can we do that? It's a love language. Go ahead, just try it. Just try it. Hidan Maria Mahakasha Talamahakashiti. Oh, Lomoria Rabahakashiti. Oh, Maria Mahaya Bakashiti Alama. Lola Namia Kashi Alala Bahakashiti. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for more influence to trust him more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Just for my own insecurity's sake, am I ministering to anybody today here? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a great big praise. Is he awesome? Is he awesome? He's so awesome. Oh, Jesus. Well, let's continue with our reading. Now, where did Brother Churchill go? Is he gone? Oh, okay. All right, so reading verse 13, it says, "The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with their tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, and fair one, and come away. 14. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock. I'm in verse 14. In the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. And now he gives some advice, and this is going to lead me into the rest of our session today. Take us, the foxes, in the little foxes. Everybody say little foxes. That spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The Amplified there in verse 15 says, my heart was touched, and I fervently sang to him my desire. Take for us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards of the of our love, for our vineyards are in blossom. Take the foxes, the little foxes, because they're going to spoil the vines. In the Amplified version of that very same scripture, the New Living Translation says, quick. Now this beloved now is saying, quick, catch the little foxes before they ruin the vineyard of your love. For the grapevines are all in blossom. He says, catch them and be quick about it. The lesson we started yesterday was about temptations. And temptations have a way of spoiling. When I think of my vineyard that these foxes want to destroy and spoil, I think of my life when I first came to God way back in the Civil War. Seems like it was 1971. My vineyard was overrun with all kinds of wild things, and I came to God and he washed it all away. And I've been trying to build a vineyard, the fruit of the Spirit, my vineyard, my life that I want it to be for God. Yet there's foxes, aren't there? Little foxes. And so this loving God is giving us direction on how to keep ourselves from being ruined. Now notice he said, the little foxes. Get them while they're little. They're much easier to deal with when they're little than they are when they get bigger. If you could, would it take you very long to find Leviticus? It's in there. Starts with an L. One preacher said it was referred to it as Levi Tuckus, which is in the 11th chapter. Could you go to the 11th chapter of Leviticus? Or Levi Tuckus, whatever suits your fancy. And this is a strange verse of scripture, isn't it? He says in verse 29, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 29. Are we all together here? Okay. These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things. Everybody say creeping things. That creep upon the earth. And he names them. There's eight of them. Number one, the weasel. They're unclean. They're creeping things. And the mouse. That's number two. And the tortoise after his kind. That's number three. And the ferret, four. And the chameleon,
5, and the lizard 6, and the snail 7, and the mole 8. That's verse 29 and 30. Slip up to verse 41. And he continues to talk, and he said, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. He did not want them to get the creeping things inside. The creeping things gives God the creeps. And it's an abomination. Verse 44 says, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. In other words, there's something we got to do that God won't do. Sanctify yourselves. The word sanctified, y'all still with me? I'm feeling a little distance. Is it just my imagination? Are we clued in here? Okay. He's saying that you sanctify yourself. The word sanctify means to separate unto God. He's saying, I want you to separate yourself from creeping things. Because creeping things are an abomination. Do not eat them. He didn't want creeping things on the inside. And he listed them. Amazing, isn't it? And so when we think about the five temptations that men face, or the five greatest temptations men face, by far not the only temptations. This was what I was going to preach last night, and I think that I just missed the timing, and it was really kind of to merge it into today. There's constant assault of things that want to creep into our lives. Let's say I was ignorant and said something stupid to you that kind of ticked you off or offended you or hurt you. That's not the creeping thing. The creeping thing is, don't you hate his guts? You follow me? He hurt me. I'm mad. That's the creeping thing. Or whatever. Or the babe that walks across the road. Creeping in the lust or whatever. The enemy is constantly trying to creep in and pull us back. The snake, the serpent, crept in, didn't he? To speak to Adam and Eve. He was the most subtle or subtle creature. He creeps. Very creepy. Creeps in. He's always looking for a little spot. You know, one of these is a mouse. Remember reading that all that long ago? 12 seconds? One of them was a mouse. I don't think it was Mickey Mouse. And mice can crawl through the tiniest holes, man. It's amazing. I don't know how they do that. But they can, like, get through a hole half the size of their body. And they can squeeze in and creep in. And once they get into your house, if they got a Mr. and a Mrs. Mouse going on, you're going to have mice everywhere. Because they multiply. If you let a little rat get in your spirit, it'll multiply. Because little things don't stay little. He said, get the little foxes because they ain't going to stay little very long. And this is why and how people backslide. They let something a little come in, and because it's little, no big deal. You know, it's kind of cute. You ever seen a fox? Have you ever seen a baby fox? They be cute, man. They're cute, but they don't stay little.
a chameleon. Cool. They don't stay little. A tortoise? They get real big. And when we let things sort of hang around, they start to get bigger and bigger and bigger. This is how people backslide. Now, how many ever, you know, somebody just quit church? What happened to so-and-so? They backslid. You're kidding. They were just here 3 weeks ago. They didn't start backsliding 3 weeks ago. They started backsliding way back yonder when something crept in. And it was little. And they didn't deal with it when it was little. And it got them. Because sooner or later, that thing is going to take control. Let's take David. He's in the wrong place at the wrong time. He should have been out to battle. He goes out and bops around and sees Bathsheba. Bring me my royal telescope. Heard the story one time of, this is kind of funny, one time of a brother in church, he was in charge of video camera, and they had a really great service that night, and so this guy and his wife and another couple were going to watch that service like a week or so later, and the guy forgot a little part of that service, and he was videotaping the choir, and the camera's panning, and it stops on this particularly attractive sister, and the camera goes just a natural reaction, you know. And his wife is sitting there. And actually, not so funny, eventually they divorced. I'm not saying it was about that, but you could see that as a symptom of a problem that was just a little mouse. Just a little chameleon. Not a big deal. But little things don't stay little. A little tiny, about 10, 12 years ago, there was like this humongous forest fire in the San Diego area. And there's been several since, but this was particularly damaging. I mean, thousands of acres. I think 30 people were burned up, died, and hundreds of houses, and just unbelievable. And I have a picture in the PowerPoint from outer space, a camera from outer space, and you can see the smoke from outer space in California drifting out over the Pacific Ocean from this fire. It was so big. But here's how it started. There was a guy, a hiker, going through the woods, and it was getting to be evening, and he was getting nervous about the time of the day. He's lost. So in an effort for somebody to see him and find him, he shoots off a flare. Flare lands wherever it landed and started a little brush fire. This is how this fire started. Started a little brush fire. And the forest ranger saw the smoke and called the fire people, whoever in charge of that, down in town and asked them to go up there and take a look at it. So they got in a helicopter. They went up there. And remember, it's toward the end of the day. And they said, yes, there's a small brush fire going on here. But it's getting late. Sun's going down. It's getting a little past the time that we're supposed to be up here. We'll come back tomorrow. And by the time they got back, it was completely out of control. People died. Two teenage girls in panic jumped in their car as a fire was coming through their neighborhood and cooked them alive. Because somebody said, We'll take care of it tomorrow. 30 other people died, maybe even more than that. I can't remember the statistics. Because somebody said, I will take care of it tomorrow. I wonder how many people, backsliders, said, that became backsliders, whose lives were wrecked, their families were wrecked. That they said, I'm going to take care of this, just not now. I'll take care of it later. It's just a small thing. It's just a small brush fire. We'll come back in the morning. But small fires don't stay small. Small foxes don't stay small. David, if you'd have just been where you were supposed to be, you wouldn't have been where you would have seen Bathsheba. And I wonder if Bathsheba knew he was hanging out on that porch. He usually comes out about 5 o'clock. That's when I think I want to take a bath. Oh, hi, Dave. Who knows? There are people like that. And there she was. Now what are you going to do? There's a little flicker, a little flame. You can snuff it out right now. Turn around and put that fire out. Get that lust down. Get it under control. And don't go out on the porch at 5 o'clock tomorrow night. But he didn't do it. That little fire started to spread. Then he said, get that honey up here. And she walks into the bedroom and the fire is getting out of hand. He does the deed. For the moment, pleasurable. But consequences, as we talked about yesterday, are always hidden. When you're caught up in a fire, you cannot see eventually where this is going to go. You know, sheep, some real fine, foxy looking sheep. And then there's this other guy, he had a foxy sheep, but he only had one. And this guy had a bunch, stole the one he had. What do you think we ought to do about that guy? Off with his head. Hey, Dave, you're the guy. He was struck with conviction, shame. To his credit, thoroughly repented and wrote Psalms 51, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of thy salvation. And so he had remorse. The child died. And he later had another child, which became Solomon, eventually became the second king. It's amazing. Third king. Amazing story, but he suffered in his household ever since because he didn't deal with a fire that was little. He had a little fox there. He had a creeping thing there. It was trying to creep in. He could have dealt with it, but it just got out of control. Have you ever felt like, or have you ever heard somebody say, oh, I can handle this? No, 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 you can't. You can't. And so, if we go to our sheet now, we have covered the introduction, and we got to the greatest, say, page 2, and that starts the first one of these great temptations of men, these creeping things, if you will. Are we okay, y'all? Still with me? Are we all right? We together? Am I making sense? Are we communicating? All right. Do you feel like the presence of the Lord is here today? All right, good. Thank you. All right. And so we skipped number 1 because the sisters were walking in and out. And
I just suddenly got embarrassed and didn't want to do that with them here. And so we did number two. Isn't that right? So let's go back to number one. Now, these are not in descending order of importance. These are just randomly in an order. First one I put there was the temptation of sexual lust. That should be your first blank. Number one, the temptation of sexual lust. You and I, unfortunately, are motivated by sight. I asked our men the other day in a men's breakfast, just last Saturday, I think it was, maybe two Saturdays ago, I said, how come the fashion world does not design shirts, men's shirts, that come down here like this? Showing half or more of our breasts. Why don't they do that? Because women don't want to care about your breasts. But the reason they do it for women, I don't know what it is about those things. But they're just fascinating, aren't they? I've heard. And so, since women couldn't care less, why should men wear a shirt like that? Women, because they know. I don't know how it works, but there's something about them. Make you want to look. Am I right or wrong? And so, we have to guard our eyes. Our eyes and our ears is a pathway to our mind and our heart. So we have to guard our eyes and guard our ears. There's a quote here underneath number one. Lust is not noticing that a woman is sexually attractive. Lust is born. So attractive and born. Lust is born when we turn a simple awareness into a preoccupied fantasy. When we initiate sexual thoughts into our minds and nurture them, we have passed from simple awareness into lust. Luther put it this way. We cannot help if birds fly over our heads. It's another thing if we invite them to build nests in our hair. So you and I cannot help. It is just instinctual. It's the way God made sure the world would be populated. He wired us to recognize sexually attractive women. You can't help it. To recognize it. It just goes bzzz. Now, what do you do then? Okay? Can you relate to the bzzz? Or maybe twice, one each. Bzzz, bzzz. Trying to be real here. I'm embarrassed. I just embarrassed myself. But it's funny, isn't it? You know why it's funny? You know exactly what I'm talking about. And you better thank God you get the bzzz. Because you get the bzzz over here. Some guy. You're in really bad shape. I never got one brute over a guy. I've been around a lot of guys. I never got a brute over that. But over here, I had a lot of brute. You can thank God you got the booze. But
but it has to be managed. We've got to manage our instincts. So you cannot help noticing. I mean, if a babe come walking in here topless, you're going to notice. You're not going to say, oh, man. You're going to go, what? You're going to notice. You're going to notice. But he's saying here, and I think it's right, which is why I put it in here, that it's not lust until we start initiating thoughts. What would it be like if she didn't have that this on? What would she look like? You know, you follow what I'm saying? No? Somebody said no? Somebody say you don't know what I'm saying? See me after service. We got to try the blzz test. You don't know what I'm talking about. You need to have it. Sit down with your pastor. Have a talk. It's when we initiate thoughts and start imagining. This is what got David. Wow, what if she was up here? What we could do? You know, he started imagining things and nurturing those thoughts. That's when lust takes hold. Let's look at some scriptures here. Can you turn to Lamentations? It's right after Jeremiah, which somebody said was a bullfrog. Jeremiah, then Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 51. Mine eye affecteth my heart because of all the daughters of my city. Come on now. When we see that person and recognize them as attractive, it can affect our heart. That's what we got to be. That's the creeping thing trying to creep in. Does that make sense? I hope you're relating to what I'm talking about. Let's go to the book of Job. You might want to just jot these scriptures down in your note area there. It's just for future reference. That first one was Lamentations 3:51. In the book of Job, chapter 31. Job 31 and verse 1. You got it? I made a covenant with mine eyes. When then should I think upon a maid? Why then should I think upon a maid? That's different from noticing, Brother Sanders. Why should I think? My eyes, I made a covenant, my eyes. I'm not going to look the second time. Does this seem like good advice? Because you look that second time, then it starts creeping. And it's little, but it don't stay little. And the enemy is very patient. He'll just send another one over here, another there. And after a while, your mind could get racing if you're not careful. And you'll start thinking on a maid. Let's go to Proverbs 23. Amazing, this is in the Bible. Maybe God wanted us to know about it. 23, starting at verse 26. Chapter 23, starting at verse 26. You there? If you're not all there, say, I'm not all there. You're not all there? Verse 26. Gotcha. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Verse 27. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit.
She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. She's lying where? In waiting as for a prey. There's women out there that will hunt you. We need to run. You know what the Bible says about fornication? Flee. It does not say walk away from it. It says run. Because you can't handle it. Get away from there as fast as you can. Isn't that amazing? That's powerful stuff. How about Ecclesiastes? A couple books to the right. Or maybe just a book to the right. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Is this all right to talk about this? God wants to preserve us. And because he's skipping and he's leaping and he's loving, he's saying, I want to protect you. Watch out for these things. Can you relate to that? All right, so we're looking at Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands, whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Blessed is a man that escapes. In other words, there's going to be incidences. There's going to be opportunities. You're blessed when you escape. And the sinner is taken by her. Boy, that's amazing. Look here. That's something he wants us to know about. Out there, you got to cut that off. Don't go down that road. Don't get lured down that path. Starve that source. Letter D, take in the word of God. Hunger for the word. Ferociously ingest the word of God. Amen to preacher. Eat that word, because the word will strengthen you to give you power to break that yoke. Am I giving you good advice here? It's so very, 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 very important, because it will destroy you. And letter E, get accountability. Amen. Get with somebody that loves you, has your best interests at heart. Partner with them. This isn't just about porno. If there's somebody, whatever. You get somebody so they can say, how you doing with that problem? And be honest. Yes. Be honest. Get a hold of somebody that has integrity and be honest with them. Save yourself. Save yourself. Sanctify yourselves. Didn't that, remember I talked about that? God said to them, sanctify yourself. Separate yourself. God is not going to drag you out. It has to be. It was your will that led you in it, and it's got to be your will that leads you out of it. Now, God will strengthen you. He'll help you, but you've got to do your part. It's very important. We did number two. Number two is the temptation to have power and control. We'll just move past that and go to number three. This is a temptation men face, the temptation to love money. Zig Ziglar says, I've been poor and I've been rich. And I like being rich way more than I like being poor. And I do too. I think I would. I'd like to be rich. I've tried to talk God into it a lot of times. I promise I'll behave. I promise. Money can mess people's minds. Reader's Digest came out with an article some time ago about people that won lotteries. And millions of dollars. Thank you.